Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. Just a couple blocks away from, well, I assume it's an empty White House. I assume our president's out playing golf at the Mar-a-Lago. I don't really know. It's interesting how little he's gotten done. Frankly, given his agenda, I'm kind of pleased. You may recall just a few weeks ago, he fired all of the U.S. federal district attorneys, what they call the U.S. attorneys, the prosecutors, all the federal prosecutors. He fired them all. They were all hired by Obama. But he's yet to put in a single new one himself. So it's kind of like, I don't know, quitting a job. Or selling your home before finding a new job or finding a new home or firing all your employees, really what it is, before hiring new ones. So he hasn't done that. He's actually appointed very few people to positions in his cabinet. The cabinet he's got, it's the undersecretaries, all of them that need the confirmation by the Senate, deputy secretaries and so forth. He hasn't even gotten around to appointing them. He's had, of course, a big failure on trying to repeal and replace Obamacare. Of course, the Republicans never did have a plan to replace the Affordable Care Act. We knew that. They didn't necessarily know that. And now he's talking about tax reform. I'm quite confident he'll fail on that, too. And, you know, every time he fails, I'm excited, I'm thrilled, but I'm still worried because, obviously, he's going to try again. Luckily for us, he's completely incompetent. But the other question that keeps coming to mind as I watch the watch this president is what he's all about, and it seems mostly about helping his family. I'll talk more about that after the break. If you want to call in, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back, right after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Talking about this new president, we probably be talking a lot about him over the next few years. I really hate to put the word president with the word Trump together. It just still doesn't seem possible. But also, what's fascinating about this guy is I just don't know that he believes in anything. I mean, he just reminds me, I guess, of a petulant child or maybe a untrained puppy. He just wants whatever he can get at the moment. Right? I mean, the young dog will chew anything, good for him or bad for him, just because it's there, right? He'll do whatever he wants, whatever he can do to get approval at the moment, and then he'll just flip-flop without a moment's notice. He really doesn't care. He doesn't care about his voters. He'll, you know, he hates China, now he loves China, right, on issues of trade. He will flip-flop on the Affordable Care Act about 12 different ways, even though he really strived to care about it. He'll even flip-flop on playing golf, because you remember he criticized President Obama so much for playing golf. You remember he criticized President Obama for not coming clean about his college transcript? He wanted to see all his grades in chemistry, I guess, where Donald Trump doesn't want to come clean about his tax returns. Because the one thing that's consistent about Donald Trump, the one thing we know he will always do, is whatever he can do to enrich himself. Just this week, Ivanka, his daughter, met with the Chinese premier, and lo and behold, her products got all the trademarks they needed from China that very same day. Coincidence? I think not. Jared Kushner, her husband, is profiting big time, hand over fist. They're making tons and tons of money. They're even making money off the U.S. taxpayer, charging tens of millions, now it's probably hundreds of millions of dollars, for the Secret Service to stay in his hotels, in Trump's hotels, so he can profit off them. You think he would at least give free rooms to the people who are providing him security. As Mark Romaldi, my producer, just pointed out, they even have to pay for golf carts at Mar-a-Lago. The Secret Service, protecting the president, is charged by the president to protect him. I want you to think about that. Imagine if I hired a bodyguard, but charged the bodyguard to defend me. It's really kind of amazing. So the one thing we know about Donald Trump is he will enrich himself as much as possible. For example, Turkey has a new dictator. The what was once a democratic president, Erdogan, has just given himself dictatorial powers, which he claims were voted on by the Turkish people. The opposition says he basically defrauded the election, stuffed the ballot box. You remember, even Adolf Hitler was originally elected by the German people. So it's not that hard to turn a democracy to a dictatorship. And you would think that we would be very upset about that. After all, Turkey's part of NATO. But you see, Donald Trump has business interests in Turkey. So he's going to praise the new dictator. So he doesn't care about his people. He certainly doesn't care about the people that voted against him. He really doesn't give a damn about the American people at all. But he does care about enriching himself and his family. And I'm afraid that's what we're going to see over the next 4 years. Let's go to the lines. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. Russell on line one in Weaverville, North Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Hey, bud. I was just going to tell you, he's really deceived in people that voted for him. And he's not really looking out for the regular American. He's looking out for the upper 1% and 2%. But I was going to tell you, too, Mark, if you get a chance, there's a documentary I highly recommend you watch. It really educated me a lot on our dictator, The Making of Trump. It was put out by History Channel, so it's truly nonpartisan.
Oh, that's a good idea. I'll check that out. I will do that. I guess my question for you, you know, down in Weaverville, and I realize it's a suburb of a really liberal town, Asheville, kind of nestled in the mountains. But what are people saying? And I don't mean you. I know you understand this, Russell. But what are people in your town saying? Do they realize that he's just in there to grab as much money for himself? Or do they actually think he's some kind of, I don't know, Jim Jones-like figure who will take them all to heaven?
Well, there's a lot of them people that are so pro-Trump, they don't want to see the truth, and you can't.
But what makes them pro-Trump? What is it? Is it that they love their guns so much? Is it that they hate the idea of a woman president so much? Is it, you know, racism? I mean, is it economic despair, and they actually think he's going to help them because they believe somehow that because he's rich, therefore he'll make them rich? I mean, what's their motivation?
I think it's that right there, what you just hit on. That is the biggest thing in this area, is people think that he's going to make America great. They believe the lie. But I was going to tell you what I heard on that documentary that I do believe, too, is he has to have media attention like air.
Oh, absolutely.
And he loves that.
And you're absolutely right. It is like air. He kind of gasps for it as he grasps for it. You know, what he really is he's a reality star. People forget that's what he is. That's what he's always been. He's always been a self-promoter. Even the book that he didn't write, The Art of the Deal, written by, you know, his ghostwriter, Tony Schwartz, who said that Donald Trump is like a 9-year-old with attention deficit disorder, that even that is all about self-promotion. The Trump brand is all about the Trump brand because the Trump brand is bankrupt, right? The steaks are substandard. The vodka is no good. The steel is made in China. It's really not a very good brand. The only brand is the brand. It's kind of like people talk about Kim Kardashian and they say, what's she famous for? Well, she's famous for being famous. Well, that's all she can do, right? Or Snooki, or the situation. I mean, to me, Donald Trump belongs there with Snooki or the situation. He's someone who's very good at attracting attention. But I wonder how much he even believes it. I look at someone like Ann Coulter. All right. Now, Ann Coulter is an excellent performance artist. She's also, you know, performing her art in ways that are very damaging. But that's all she does. She's a trained clown. I'll give you another example. Alex Jones. So Alex Jones is a radio host who says the most extreme, outlandish things on the air that even Alex Jones knows aren't true. He was just in court the other day in a custody battle, and his ex-wife was talking about how damaging he is, given the crazy things he says. He says, I don't believe any of that stuff. It's just an act. It's just an act. But even though Alex Jones knows he's faking it, the people listening to him actually believe that Obama was born in Kenya, or that, you know, poison is raining down from the sky, or that vaccines will kill you, or whatever, or that Bush caused 9/11 by planting bombs in the World Trade Center. I mean, whatever crazy stuff he says, there are people out there naive enough to believe it. And I just still wonder how to help those people see the light.
Well, see, they're so fixed in their ideals, they don't want to hear the truth. That's the sad part.
I knew why.
I wish I could tell you, too. It's in the South where we're from. People don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear the facts.
See, I live in Northern Virginia. I live in Northern Virginia. The area I represent, Alexandria and Arlington, actually are the two most educated counties in the entire United States. The vast majority of people around me have college degrees and don't fall for this. Even the Republicans in my area. So my town is probably three quarters Democratic and a quarter Republican. But even of those Republicans, more than half of them see through Donald Trump. They're Republican because they want tax cuts and things like that. But they know that Donald Trump is a charlatan. They're smart enough to see it. And I keep going back to Jim Jones. I keep thinking about those people who drank the Kool-Aid. And they drank it because they really believed this guy was their Messiah. For those of you who don't remember, Jim Jones took people down to Guyana, where when the Fed started catching on to what he was doing with his cult, he had all his followers drink Kool-Aid that was mixed with arsenic, I believe is what it was, which is a bitter poison. And they drank the Kool-Aid that covered up the poison, and then they all committed mass suicide. And that's where the expression drink the Kool-Aid came from. It came from Jim Jones. Just for the folks who might be younger than we are and may not remember that. But go ahead, sir.
Well, I was going to tell you, too, the other thing I'm worried about is him and his attitude and him starting stuff with North Korea. And that, for a long time, with the doing the bilateral talks through China, there was not a problem there unless it made a problem.
Yeah, you know, I've been... Go ahead.
They shoot their missiles off in this test, but that's just them trying to do their saber rattling. But I'm just afraid that he could take that the wrong way and cause World War III.
It's a scary thought because he has no idea what he's doing. Luckily, I think many of the people in the military do have some idea. Some do have some idea what they're doing. Clearly, Trump has no idea. You know, I've been following this for quite some time. I remember back to Bill Clinton when we had a deal, a verifiable deal with North Korea. We even had cameras turned on watching them to make sure that they weren't building nuclear production. And we were very carefully monitored, inspectors in, and that worked throughout the 90s. Then when George Bush became president, we had two wars going on, one in Iraq and one in Afghanistan. And at that time, the North Korean dictator, who's not an idiot, this current dictator's father, said, aha, here's my chance. And he kicked out the cameras, and he started building his nuclear weapons. And we were preoccupying Iraq. While we were preoccupied by occupying Iraq, we completely ignored North Korea, let them violate the sanctions, did so with impunity. Talk about weak government. And that's when North Korea, and I remember in 01 and 02 and 03, I remember telling people, I remember I was working in Congress at the time, telling people on the phone, telling everyone who would hear me, this guy's going to develop nuclear weapons while we're not watching. And so they developed it under George Bush. Now they've got him. And the question is, what do we do next? And I don't think Trump has any idea. I mean, it's not an easy question. at all. I admit that. But for one thing, we need to shore up South Korea. We need to make sure that South Korea is protected, is my view. But you're right. Anything could happen with this guy, and it's a scary thought. Anything else, Russell?
Yes, sir. They both. Oh, yes, sir. Them both of them have that bad temper that, you know, one tried to get loud in their mouth and then actually fire. He can fire on South Korea or Japan, which are both allies of ours, and that will automatically start the effects of either another Korean War or something else.
You know, Russell, I'll tell you my answer, and it's not necessarily the one you might think coming from a progressive like myself, but I've always been believed we need a very strong country, and we need to protect our allies. So some people are surprised by my views, but my view is I don't have a view because it's the progressive view. I have a view because I've thought about it. I think it's the right thing to do. In my opinion, and I've said this on the air before, though I don't talk about it too much, we should quietly give South Korea install nuclear weapons on the ground in South Korea and have American soldiers there so they can't trip the wire, but American soldiers are there. And that way, it's kind of like how we defended Europe all that time. We do it quietly until they're set up and ready to go. And that way, South Korea has its own individual deterrent to North Korea. And that way, it's missile for missile. And in doing so, you know, maybe even some in Japan. I'm sorry. But it may be necessary so that this guy tones himself down. So I hope they're doing that. I was hoping every president was doing that. I was hoping Obama was doing that. Install them secretly and quietly, have them ready to go, and then once they're working, announce them and make it very clear that if North Korea does anything, it's never hear it expressed, but if you want to know, I've thought about it, that's what I think should be done.
Yes, well, I agree with you on a strong military, but I'm sure you got the same view I do. We agree on a strong military, but not with the cost of Social Security.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And I think we've got a strong military. I don't think it needs more strength than it has. Our military can take care of virtually anything. Social Security is our security, right? It's social. We all look out for each other, and it's secure. It protects us in our old age. Social Security, Medicare, these programs are the backbone of what brings Americans into the middle class. And no, absolutely. I don't think in any way. I don't think we have to sacrifice. We've got hundreds of tanks sitting in the Arizona desert because Congress built them because they were built in their district, and the Pentagon doesn't even want them. There's a ton of military waste. So I'm not for a weak military, but there's plenty of fat to cut there. Thanks for your call, Russell. I appreciate it. Got Reggie next, and then your calls, too. Just 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. You know, it's very hard to try to understand someone who defies understanding. It's kind of like when someone's mentally ill and you're trying to understand the voices they're hearing and you just don't get it. And that may be because there's nothing to get. If you simply understand Donald Trump as someone who is doing what he can to steal as much money as possible and have fun, actually that explains everything. Someone who likes a ton of attention will do whatever he can to get attention. Someone who wants to be liked is incredibly insecure. I mean, what presidential candidate talks about his private parts? He's incredibly insecure. He wants everyone to like him and love him and worship him. And he changes his mind every other day. And he just wants to go out and play golf. And he never thought in a million years he'd be president. Right? What made him good on the reality show was precisely his prickliness, his narcissism, and his willingness to change on a dime. That leads to excitement in television. That leads to terror as our president. Let's go now to Reggie in Georgia. Reggie, how are you, sir?
Happy hump day to you too, Mark Levine.
How are you?
Well, just fine. Well, before I get to my real true main prime point here, there's a few other performance artists who do talk radio for a living that I may add, if I may.
Sure.
Well, let's see. Well, you got Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, and of course the number one performance artist of them all. In fact, he's the industrious leader. You know, Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, and also I should note that Bill O'Reilly has just been fired, apparently, from Fox. If you haven't heard the news, I'll break it here. I don't know. It just came in, so I don't know all the details of it. Many know about the sexual harassment charges, so that's interesting.
I wonder who's going to replace him, obviously.
I'll take the job.
You'll take the job on
Fox News? If they'll hire me, are you kidding? I would be there in a minute.
I would
work hard to change everybody's attitudes. And the moment they tried to censor me, I'd be out, which is why they'll never hire me. But, hey, you can dream.
You and Shepard Smith should team up together if that ever were to happen.
Hey, that'd be fun. I need to get back on there. But anyway, so Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham. You know, I've met, I haven't met Rush Limbaugh. I haven't really met him, but I've been in the same room with him at a radio conference. So I have seen all three of those people personally.
Yeah.
I've been on the air with Laura. I've been on the air with Laura and Sean.
Right.
And Rush has personally trashed me, though I haven't been on his program. Sean would insult me constantly on his program. Laura, I would say, actually had conversations with me. Obviously, I disagree with her, but she wasn't all about insults. I would say that we actually had some real discussions and some strong disagreements, whereas Rush and Sean, I don't think are capable of that. I think they're only capable of insults. So of the three of them, I'll give, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'll give Laura a 2, and the other two would be in negatives.
Right. You mean like Michael Savage or Mark Levin?
Yeah, they're pretty lousy too. They just seem angry. They just seem so, you know, I don't know what they're so angry about. Their lives are not that hard, particularly compared to the people they talk about. It's like there's some people in America to whom poor people or people who are struggling, just I don't know, they annoy them. They're like, damn it, why do people not have all the money I have? Or why do people have to, complain about unfairness when I have everything I need? It's just a lack of empathy. I joke about the fact, because some people confuse me with Mark Levin, and his name is Levin, and I'm Levine, and I always remind people the difference between us. I have that second E, which stands for empathy. Because I think Mark Levin really lacks empathy. He just can't imagine being in someone else's shoes. He just doesn't have that capacity. And someone else that lacks empathy, I think, is Donald Trump.
Right. And who only cares about himself or for himself, his family, and his friends, and the people that he watches on, you know, Fox News. Because that's, like you said, that's where he gets information from. And of course, InfoWars.
Yeah, he doesn't really care about them, but he has no information. He's like a blank mind, a blank slate. He reminds me of a kid cribbing for a test. The test is tomorrow, and he didn't read the book. So he looks online, or what we used to call Cliff Notes, and just grabs the first bit of information he has. And it doesn't matter who says it. He'll just claim it's true, and then he'll defend that truth, which he obviously knows nothing about, because, some guy said it on Fox News. And even when proved wrong, even when an entire investigation is conducted and 17 intelligence services tell America that he's lying, including the director of the FBI, people who work for him are telling him he's lying, he still won't back down and admit that he just made stuff up.
And if he gets an F on that test or exam, he gets pissed the hell off, you know. He blames them instead of himself for not studying so hard in order to get an A+ on the test or final exam. You know?
Yeah,
blame everybody else but himself.
Yeah, well, that's who he is. And the thing that I still struggle with, and I'm always struggling with, is why don't people see it? I really, that's the part I struggle with. Why don't people see it? And I guess it's just cultural and sad. And I don't know. One day I'm going to help figure that out. That's my determination over the next 4 years, to figure out the Trumpists. Do they actually believe what he's saying? Or do they know he's lying and think he's just somehow looking out for them? But then the question is, why? Why would a billionaire who's made money off bilking the American people his entire life, right? I mean, this is a guy who cheated on his taxes to the tune of $1 billion. What he did is other people lost the money, and he claimed it on his tax returns. So he stole $1 billion from the American people. He's stolen I don't know how many millions from the sad saps. Look at the people who went to Trump University, right? They shelled out sometimes $30,000 for nothing to watch a few videos on YouTube. And these were people that didn't have money to begin with. Otherwise, they wouldn't look for such a rock bottom, terrible place like so-called unaccredited Trump University. So he takes money from vulnerable people. And my question is, why do vulnerable people defend someone who takes money from vulnerable people? Why can't the mark see the con man? And I just don't know. That's been his history, his whole history, as is a petty and then large-time thief. Why can't people see it? Reggie, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Let me go on to Dean in Buffalo on line one. Hey, Dean, how are you?
Great. Good afternoon. By the way, I love your hashtag, the E is for empathy. I love it.
Well, it helps people remember the difference between me and that other guy who doesn't look like me, talk like me, or think like me. I want to make clear I have no connection to him. I can't help my name similarity.
The first time I heard his name, I'm thinking, wait, that's not the good guy that fills in for Leslie, is it?
Yeah. Like,
no, that ain't him.
No. He doesn't have that second E. He lacks empathy.
I know. I think the whole thing with Trump is egocentric.
Well, sure.
I mean, he clearly doesn't care about the welfare of the average American. I mean, all you have to do is look at a press conference. I've never seen him go a day without taking swipes at the Obama administration, and they haven't been in power, sadly, for a year or so.
Well, he's got no one to blame. It's really hard for him.
He's a narcissist, and narcissists need people to blame. And
right.
Right. You know, I say this to people all the time. It's as if we elected C. Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons.
But you know, Montgomery Burns, let's give Montgomery Burns a little bit of credit here. Montgomery Burns knew who he was
right. And
what he was about. Montgomery Burns was not insecure. See? Montgomery Burns didn't have any self-doubt. He wasn't worried about people liking him. He didn't give a damn whether people liked him or not. In some ways, Montgomery Burns was a more fully formed human being. He just wanted to steal a bunch of money as much as possible. Well, Donald Trump wants to steal as much money as possible, but he also wants people to like him, and he's incredibly insecure. So anyone that praises him, any yes man, they can be a Russian spy, they can be a foreign agent, they can be a dictator of a country that wants to harm America. As long as they praise Donald Trump, Trump will do anything for him. And actually, I think it's his narcissism is his Achilles heel. I actually think that we can manipulate Trump too. Frankly, it's the only plus he's got, which is he's so empty and so idiotic and so narcissistic that a bunch of yes men going in there and telling him what he wants to hear can just turn around, run the country. He won't care. He's busy golfing and get the job done as long as they just tell. In many ways, he reminds me of a child king. And actually, I used to say this about George W. Bush, but it's even more true about Donald Trump, because I think Bush did have some basic values that he cared about. And they weren't my values, but he had some. Whereas Donald Trump, I think, cares about nothing other than himself. So if someone were to say to him, hey, Donald, let's keep the Affordable Care Act and we'll tweak it some. And in return, I'll just give $1 billion to your daughter. He might be into that. You know, tweak it, get more money for an insurance company. The insurance company then pays off, does a slush fund to his kids. You know, maybe we can buy off Donald Trump because I don't think he has any values whatsoever. I don't know. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. And I said to someone one time, it seems like there's something that could be used by the fact that he cares so much about what the media and what SNL says about him.
Yeah, it's his Achilles heel. It really was. It really
is. Manipulate him.
Well, right. Everyone else can. Why shouldn't we try? You know, it's interesting. The funny thing about protests is that often they're actually not that effective. And I'm someone who's led a bunch of protests, participated in even more, lots more than the ones I've led. I've been in protests for 20, 25 years. And I've always found that if you just march around with signs, you don't accomplish that much. If you can get in the door and talk to the people and change their minds, that was always my goal in the protests. And but then sometimes protests are so large and so massive, like the Women's March, that you've got to sit up and take notice. What's fascinating is that while George Bush completely ignored any anti-war protests in Iraq, Donald Trump does notice. So your voices are heard, not because he gives a damn about you or the American people, but because he wants to be liked. And I don't know. I'm looking for any way to go up against this guy. And he's more than willing to sell his own people down the river. So, he could accidentally back into doing something good. At least that's my only hope until we can get him out of office in 2020.
Thank you very much for having me on. I'll get to the next great person.
Thanks so much. I'm going to take a break and give people another chance to call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Fulbright scholar and he speaks French, but he couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl. It's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop. Got just a few more minutes. Still time, though, for you to call in at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to David on line 3 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, David, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mark. Good to talk to you.
Good to call for you to call in.
You're asking why do so many people believe Trump?
I don't get it.
And all this garbage. You don't. Well, I get it. I get it. The answer is what I told my wife when he won the election. I said, if you ever needed proof, there it is. P.T. Barnum was right.
There's a sucker born every minute.
There's a sucker born every minute, my friend.
But
and
here's
there
the
they
thing.
Are.
Maybe it was Abe Lincoln who said, you can fool some people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. The people who are fooled all of the time, and it's only some of us. Actually, it's less than half of us, but it's a hefty third of us, I guess, who still approve of Donald Trump, and 46% voted for him.
Yeah.
What do they expect?
Remember,
what do they expect to happen?
Right?
What is it that they're dreaming of? What are their hopes and dreams? What is it that they care enough about that they think he'll help them with?
Who knows? But just remember, you can always tell when Donald Trump is lying.
His lips are moving.
His lips are moving.
Yeah, but or it could be his fingers because he's often tweeting. His little fingers could be tweeting.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I really need, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to ask my producer to get on this, and maybe we'll bring sometime in May. I want to bring the biggest Trump supporter right here on this show. And I'm just going to ask him or her the question, what do you think he's going to do for you? I mean, do you think he's going to deport every immigrant, undocumented immigrant? Do you think he's going to bring back the coal industry? Do you think he's going to bring jobs back? I mean, President Obama did a great job with jobs. Will Donald Trump do better with that? Is it that you just don't like people who are different from you? Is it that he's going to – what's he going to do on guns that's different from Obama, right? I mean, it's – you know, to the last day of the Obama presidency, people like Alex Jones – I don't know if it was him, but other radio hosts – I heard a guy on the radio say, Obama's going to come in January just before he leaves office and take away your guns. And I'm like, who are the idiots that believe this nonsense? I mean, I get people liking guns. It's not something I'm a big fan of. I understand it's fun. You shoot little targets and they go down. And, you know, I like video games. I just don't like to shoot real things. But I get the fun of it. But what I don't get is people believing that after 8 years of Obama doing really not much on guns, he was going to suddenly send out the army to confiscate America's guns. I mean, what is it? Is it you really, really, really hate abortion, but you hate abortion so much that you want to force poor women to have the kids and then mistreat the kids? I mean, well, what is it? Is it that you just don't like people who are different from you? I really want to know what it is, because I have a hard time understanding. I get why people are conservative. Yeah. I actually get that. Well, I understand that.
I was talking with a Trump supporter a while back, and he was telling me how Trump's got my back.
Why does he think that? Trump would stab him in the back in a New York second if he could get $1.95 more off his overcooked steak.
Yeah, I told him, Trump's got your back as long as you've got sucker written on it.
Yep, and he's got a knife, and he's going to stick it right in his back. What? Trump's got his back. Be more specific, sir. What's he going to do for you? Let's just talk. We'll talk in one-syllable words if we have to. What he do for you? What?
Yeah.
What? Is he going to increase your wages? Is he going to give you a job? Yeah. What's he going to do for you? Be specific.
Yeah.
And how does mistreating immigrants help you? I get it. You really enjoy watching immigrants be mistreated. Okay. You really like the fact that he can grab any woman by her private parts, and you get off on the thought that one day you could be a millionaire who could grab any woman and do what you want and cheat everybody, and he allows you to dream big. You like to think you could be Donald. I get that. But what in reality? Will he help you with education? With a job? Will he help you with inflation? Will he help you get your Social Security? Will he help you with health care? Will he help you with your guns? I know you love your guns. Will he help you with your guns? Will he help you practice your religion better? I mean, he might help you, I don't know, say nasty things about black people because you enjoy that, or Muslims or gay people or women or whatever, and he's given you the freedom you need to insult others. So I get that part. But I hear from everyone, no, Trump – When Hillary Clinton said that half of Trump's voters were in a basket of deplorables, racist and homophobic, and they said, we're not that. We're not homophobic. We're not racist. We're not Islamophobic. We don't misogynistic. We don't hate women. Okay. If you're not there because you're racist and so forth, why are you there? How is he going to help you? Be specific. Is he going to lower your taxes? Is that what it is? Because I don't even think that's it. I don't think that's it. That might be true for a few billionaires. But Joe, the guy earning, $15,000 a year, $25,000 a year in his non-union job because Trump's killing unions, and getting below, a reasonable minimum wage because Trump doesn't want to raise the minimum wage, what's he doing for you? That's the question I'm going to ask. I'm going to bring a Trump supporter on the air. I'm going to work on it. And
that's exactly
the question I'm going to ask him or her. Thank you for calling in, David. I appreciate it. We'll be back, of course, on Monday. I'm putting Mark to work, my producer, Mark Grimaldi. I'm going to ask him to find me some vociferous Trump supporter, and you can watch the fireworks fly. Until then, you have a happy Wednesday. This is Mark Levine.